and gentlemen. Tonight we have a story for you that's really different. In fact, it's hilarious. We bring you a true account of what happened when a Belgian army officer married an American nurse and tried to gain admittance to this country. Our star, Robert Young, has played almost every kind of hero in war pictures and westerns. But we believe this is the only time on record he has played the part of a war bride. We're happy to present Robert Young. Welcome back to our Hallmark program, Bob. It's great to have you with us again. But your role is rather surprising tonight.
You mean you'd never take me for a war bride?
Somehow you don't look the part.
Well, that's what I like about your Hallmark shows, Wes. You never know what to expect.
Because the stories are taken from life, and life is like that.
Right. But you know there's another reason why I'm in a good mood.
Oh, what's that?
Well, just before the show, I received a wonderful gift from our sponsor. Sets of Hallmark dolls for my little girls.
Well, Bob, I know they'll be thrilled.
That's for sure. And I want to be there when they see those dolls.
Well, it's something to see. The look on children's faces when they receive Hallmark dolls. But now, here comes the bride. And that's you, Robert Young. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present on Reader's Digest Radio Edition a light-hearted story from life, I Was a Male War Bride, starring Robert Young.
I met a United States Army nurse. I was very fortunate to meet her. I was serving as liaison officer for the Belgian government at the German war crimes trial. One day when I was thinking of something else, I stepped into the street and a car hit me. I was very fortunate. If I'd been watching where I was going, the car would not have hit me. And I would not have been brought to the United States Army hospital. And I would not have met Elsie. But I did meet her. She took care of me and I demanded all sorts of attention from her. Until finally one day she stopped by my bedside with some bad news.
You can go home today, Henri.
What did you say?
I said you can go home today. You're all right now. You're cured. You're being discharged.
I think I feel pain.
Where?
All over. I'm a very sick man, I'm sure.
Oh, you're as healthy as a horse.
Oh, you can never be sure.
We're as sure as science can make us. We've given you tests for everything from the common cold to jungle fever, and you haven't got a thing.
Oh, yes, those tests. Were they necessary, Elsie?
No.
Then why were they given to me?
Oh, I don't know.
Elsie.
Yes?
You arranged for those tests, didn't you?
I?
You.
Perhaps.
Why?
Precaution, maybe.
Or maybe you wanted to find something wrong? Maybe you didn't want me to go home?
Oh, no.
I mean it. Maybe it's meant as much to you as it has to me.
What has?
My being here. The talks we've had. Finding out that you like French cooking and I like American jazz. Talking to me about that little white colonial house your parents have in... where is it?
Massachusetts.
Oh, yes. Very difficult foreign name. You've enjoyed this, though, haven't you? Talking about Proust and Fenimore Cooper. Telling me about the 5 and 10 cent stores and listening to me going on and on about the bicycle trips I took when I was a student. It's meant something to you, hasn't it?
Of course it has, Henri.
You don't want it to stop, do you? What we've had together?
That isn't why I gave you those tests.
Oh, of course not. You wanted to find out that I was healthy, not that I was sick.
Of course.
Maybe you wanted to be sure that you'd have a healthy husband.
What did you say?
I didn't say it clearly, but what I said awkwardly was that I want to marry you, Elsie.
Andre, really, I...
You what, Elsie?
I don't know what to say.
I'll wait. If you need time, I'll wait 5 or 10 whole seconds.
Oh.
It's not a bad idea, is it, Elsie? You and I?
Henry, you... It's different with you. You're a cosmopolite. You speak English as well as I do. You feel at home anywhere with any kind of people. But I...
You don't feel at home with me, Elsie?
Well, yes, of course I do. With you. But I wouldn't want to live in Belgium.
Elsie?
Yes?
That's not the question. Do you want me, Elsie?
Yes, Henri.
Oh, darling, that's the important thing. Hang on to that. Don't forget that.
Yes, but...
But you wouldn't feel at home in Belgium.
That's it.
Well, then I'll live in
Massachusetts.
Yes. I live there, and I'll even learn to pronounce it. What did you say, darling?
Well...
No hesitation. You said yourself that I have to leave the hospital today. I want to know, Elsie. I want to know now. I want to know that it's... Yes.
It's yes, Henri.
Elsie, darling, you look very kissable.
Well, kiss me then.
Will that do?
Well, you don't look like a fellow who's going to take a girl to a movie tonight.
I'm not.
It would be nice. There's a good movie at Post Headquarters. Cary Grant.
Oh, I'm much too busy. I'm asking for your hand in marriage.
What?
Oh, in my country, when a young man wants to marry a young woman, he asks her papa's permission.
Way, and anyhow, he lets me make my own decision.
Oh, I'm not writing to your papa. I'm writing to ask permission of the United States Army.
Oh.
You told me yourself I'd have to do that.
Oh, I see.
Yes, and I've learned that the Army is a very stern, very formal kind of papa. Now, it would be so easy to go around to a top sergeant somewhere and say, please, may I marry the nurse who took care of me when I was in your hospital? But you know what I found you have to do instead? You have to get a lot of carbon paper and make out a formal marriage request. And type out 5 copies of your personal history.
5?
5. The sergeant in the colonel's office said all these papers had to go through channels. And I can only conclude that there are 5 separate channels. Oh, it's very serious. And after all your tests in the hospital, they tell me I'll have to have another physical examination.
That's our American efficiency. We do everything twice to make sure.
I'm going to love America.
Oh, let's see what you've written in your personal history.
Oh, it's pages and pages long and very dull. See, educated at the Colonial University in Antwerp. Mm-hmm. My degree, my army service, 5 months in a German prison camp, all very dull. Oh, but here's something here at the end. This should interest you.
What is it?
The sergeant who spoke to me said, why don't you put down why you want to marry the girl?
And you did?
I was doing it when you came in. See? Here. Mm-hmm. I am very desirous of marrying Captain Elsie Perkins because she is a young woman of estimable qualities. Mm-hmm. I beg to state that I have found her most learned and efficient. Her companions in the nursing corps have answered my inquiries concerning her character, which they tell me is of the highest. My companions in the hospital ward have corroborated my opinion of this young woman, but fortunately she seems to prefer me. Mm-hmm. She has further virtues besides those aforementioned, among which I will enumerate her hair, which is blonde and naturally wavy, her eyes, which are 2 in number, and blue, deep, and so on. Her complexion is...
Henri Palmier, applicant for marriage to a member of the armed forces, is not a member of any seditious organization. Henri Palmier, applicant for marriage to a member of the armed forces, is not, nor has he ever been, a criminal. Henri Palmier, applicant for marriage to a member of the armed forces, is able to read. Henri Palmier, applicant for marriage to a member of the armed forces, is not suffering from flat feet. Henri Palmier, having asked permission to marry Captain Elsie Perkins, and being morally and physically fit, and the union not seeming to bring discredit upon the armed forces of the United States, this marriage is approved.
Well, I'm sure I congratulate you, Mr. and Mrs. Palmier, or perhaps I should say Mr. and Captain Palmier.
All right, Mrs. Thank you, Counsel.
All right, Mrs. Now, I want to help you two, but I'm not sure yet how I can.
Counsel, surely it isn't unusual for people who marry United States citizens to want to enter the United States.
No, what's unusual is for them to get there.
Why is that?
Well, partly red tape and partly sensible laws which prevent undesirables from getting into America. Mostly red tape.
How can we cut it?
Well, that's the problem. Now, how many millions of dollars are you worth, Mrs. Palmier?
1/1,000,000.
Mm. Well, that's no help. In that case, you couldn't guarantee that your husband wouldn't become a public charge.
I can guarantee it.
How?
I could get a job teaching in some American college.
Well, get it.
What?
Get it. Get the job and your worries are over.
Well, I can't get the job without going over there.
Well, but you can't go over there without getting the job.
Now, Consul, isn't that silly? Do you mean to say my husband can never get to America?
Oh, certainly he can. He will. But it'll take a long time. I'm trying to help you get him over there fast. Let's see now. You haven't any money. Your husband hasn't any job. He's not a... Say, maybe he is.
Is what?
A war bride.
What?
Well, public law 271 regulates the entry of war brides into the United States. In your case, Mr. Pommier, it's probably the fastest method.
Of course. Don't you see, Henri? I'm a member of the armed forces and I've married you.
Yes, I see, darling, but... Consul.
Yes?
I'm sure you understand the feelings of a man, Consul. Isn't there any regulation that governs the entry of war grooms?
No, none. But I'm sure it'll be all right. My advice to you people is to get the forms from Army headquarters and make application right away.
Elsie.
Oh, hello, darling.
Elsie, I received a letter from the War Department.
Really?
Yes, and it's a... rather startling letter. It's addressed to Mrs. Henri Pommier, but it came to my office. By Mrs. Henri Pommier, they mean me.
Oh, well, what does it say?
It says, here, I'll read it to you. Dear madam, that's me. Following application of your husband...
Your husband?
That's you, darling. Following application of your husband, you are informed that your application to enter the United States as a war bride... has been accepted by this office. Please fill in attached form.
Well, let's fill in the form.
Why fill it in?
What does it ask for?
Oh, all sorts of details about my past and certain physical specifications. You know, I'll bet I'm the only war bride 6 feet, 3 inches tall and weighing 215 pounds.
And with a mustache.
Oh, this is what we've been waiting for, though, darling. We'll be able to leave now as soon as they've examined these forms.
Won't it be wonderful? A nice little house of our own.
Colonial, like your parents' home.
Mm, and you'll come home from the university, home from teaching students, and we'll sit on the porch and rock.
And hold hands.
Oh, darling, isn't it wonderful?
Wonderful. We're going, darling. We're going to America.
The following are ordered to report to Bremerhaven, War Brides Division. Mrs. Gretchen Brown, wife of Major Harry Brown. Mrs. Frieda Graham, wife of Corporal Richard Graham. Mrs. Irene Bolton, wife of Lieutenant George Bolton. And Mrs. Henri Pommier, wife of Captain Elsie Pommier. They are all to check in at the Dependence Hotel.
Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
I am to check in at this hotel.
Are you sure you have the right hotel?
Quite sure.
This hotel is for war brides.
I am a male war bride.
You are, eh?
Yes. Here are my papers.
Now look, brother, or a sister, or whatever you are... I'm going to assign you to the fourth floor, but I warn you, you're the only male in this hotel. And I don't think the other war brides are going to welcome you.
A moment with the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark Cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, here's Jay Jackson with a message of interest. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark Cards. That's why, when you're looking for distinctive greeting cards, it's important to look for Hallmark Cards. They are the kind of cards you can be proud to send... proud to receive. In Hallmark cards, you'll find the beauty and charm of fine design. Heartwarming color used with the greatest of care and good taste. And what's even more important, you'll always find a Hallmark card will say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. You'll recognize Hallmark cards by their distinction, and your friends will recognize them too. Those three little words that mean so much, a Hallmark card, will tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, once again, here is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, I Was a Male War Bride, starring Robert Young.
At the Dependence Hotel, I'd slept exactly 1.5 hour when something awakened me.
I'm coming.
Are you Henri Pommier?
I am.
I'm a WAC captain in charge of this hotel.
Yes.
There's been some mistake. You should not be here.
I assure you I am legally a war bride.
That's been explained to me, but it makes no difference. War bride or no war bride, you're a man, and this hotel is for females.
Well, what harm would it be for me to stay here?
For one thing, there's a regulation.
Yes, I've run into Army regulations before.
I've no doubt you have.
Now, see here, miss. I've had a very difficult time as a result of those Army regulations. And I do not propose to allow myself any further inconvenience from them.
No?
No.
Well, I sympathize with you.
Good.
However, I think you are going to get out of this hotel.
I assure you I am not.
Mr. Pommier, I'm afraid you are. I'm afraid you want to. You see, it happens that downstairs there is a contingent of over 100 war brides. They just arrived.
Well?
They are all females.
Well?
And tonight in this hotel, there will have to be more than one person in each room.
Oh, good heavens.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, what can I do?
If I were you, I'd try building number 9.
Building 9?
Yes, it's for enlisted personnel.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can take care of you there.
Oh, thank you, Captain. I'll be out of here in 5 minutes.
Well,
this is building 9?
Yeah.
I was sent here from the War Brides Hotel. I'm to sleep here.
You remember the U.S. Army?
No.
Then you don't sleep here, Mac.
Listen to me.
I'll listen to you, but you don't sleep here, Mac.
I am a male. I have married a member of the United States Army, an Army nurse. The only way that I can get into the United States is under the provisions of Public Law 271, which regulates the entry of war brides. Technically, legally, formally, I am a war bride. Every other war bride in Europe is a female, and they don't allow me into War Bride's Hotel because it's a hotel for females. They've sent me here.
You don't sleep here, Max.
Did you listen to me?
I listened to you. You said you ain't in the Army. This is for enlisted personnel. You don't sleep here.
Very well. Are there any German hotels in the neighborhood?
Sure.
Where are they, please?
What do you want to know for?
I'm going to get a room in one of them and get some sleep.
No, you're not, Mac.
Why not?
You're a war bride, ain't you?
Yes, and I'm going to sleep at a German hotel. What's wrong with that?
If you're a war bride, you're under military law. And the German hotels are off limits.
I see. And, Sergeant, will you be good enough to tell me where I am going to sleep?
I don't care where you sleep.
Well, I care. I've taken all the pushing around that I'm going to take. You and your army, Sergeant. I'm a human being, and I need sleep. Nobody seems to care about that fact. They worry about my sex. They worry about whether I'm enlisted personnel or not. But nobody cares about my need for sleep. I'm telling you now, I'm going to sleep in this building.
Then you'll be court-martialed for disobeying orders.
What's it about court-martial, Sergeant?
Lieutenant, this man is under military law and won't obey orders.
What orders, Sergeant?
He wants to sleep in this building, and I've told him it's for enlisted personnel. And he don't fit that category.
Why doesn't he? Well, because, Lieutenant, I'm a... Well, a war bride.
Oh, yes, yes. The black captain over at the Dependence Hotel called me and told me about your case.
Well, I'll go back with the other war brides, Lieutenant.
Hello,
Lieutenant. Yes.
Mr. Pommier, I want to apologize for any indignities you've suffered.
Oh, it's all right.
No, it isn't all right. You've had the misfortune to fall into a peculiar category. And I'm afraid the Army has, as usual, been somewhat stiff in their interpretation of the rules that govern your conduct.
That is quite correct, Lieutenant. They have been stiff, and they have made jokes.
Yes, I suppose that would be the case. Well, I don't think your situation is particularly a joking matter, Mr. Pommier. And since I'm in charge here tonight, I'm very happy to be able to offer you a cot.
Lieutenant, thank you very much indeed. If they have people like you and my wife in America, I'm going to love the place.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Take our guest's bag into the barracks and see that he's made comfortable.
Yes, sir. Come along, Mr. Pommier.
Thank you, Sergeant. With me. I'd like to have us get on the ship together.
So would I, but I'll be along as soon as the Warbrides have got aboard. Well, aren't you going, darling?
Well, let the others go first. I'll be the last Warbride aboard this ship, thank you.
Going home.
Excited?
Yes, aren't you?
Very much excited, darling. Oh, darling.
What?
Massachusetts.
You can pronounce it.
I've been practicing.
Look.
Where?
Up at the top of the gangplank. They're checking the credentials of the Warbrides.
Oh, I suppose I'll have trouble there again.
Well, it'll be the last time.
I'm going.
I'll be along as soon as you're aboard.
Here goes.
Hey! You!
What? What is it, Corporal?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're the male Warbride. Yeah, I know about you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Hey! Wait a minute. Where do you think you're going?
My credentials, Chief.
This is made out for Mrs. Henry Pommier.
You won't believe it, but that's me. I'm a male war bride.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, you're not coming aboard this ship. You're not military personnel. You're not a civilian employee. You're not a dependent. And, brother, you sure don't look like a bride.
Would you come down the gangplank with me, Chief?
What for?
The Army corporal down there can explain everything.
What, that corporal let you up here?
Yes.
Well, I'll come down with you, all right. Now tell that corporal where he gets off.
Corporal, this Navy man won't let me on the ship.
You gotta let him on the ship. He's a male war bride. There's no such thing. There is, and he's going on the ship. There isn't, and he ain't going on the ship.
Chief.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Captain.
Sir.
This man whom you will not let on the ship is my husband.
Look, I can't help that, Captain. I got my orders, and they don't include this guy.
Chief.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
You're getting orders from me now. I'm a captain in the United States Army, and this is an Army matter.
Yes, and we're not going to have any trouble with the Navy over this. We've had enough trouble with the Army.
From you, Mac.
No, but you take orders from me, don't you?
Well, yes, Captain, but you see, I gotta be careful who I let on board this ship.
Hasn't the Captain told you she's my husband?
Your mother?
Yes, that's what I meant. Hasn't she told you that?
I can't help that.
Listen to me, will you? Don't you know that this man is technically listed as my war bride?
Did you say war bride, Captain?
I did.
Oh, well, that's different, Captain. I sort of forgot about the women in the services. I'm sorry. I guess they're entitled to have war brides as well as us men.
Then you will let him on the ship?
Why, of course, Captain. Come along, mister.
Just a minute. I'm the last of the war brides to go on the ship, right?
Right.
And my wife is going to be the first of the military personnel to go on the ship, right?
Right.
Then is there any objection if we go on together?
Well, I don't see why you can't.
Very well. Elsie, come here.
Yes, darling?
We're going on the ship, and we're going to your lovely Massachusetts. We're through with the red tape. And I'm through being a war bride. From now on, I'm a war groom. Stand aside there, everybody. Get out of my way. I'm going to carry my wife up the gangplank and over the threshold.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Young will be back in just a moment. But first, here is Jay Jackson. Hallmark dolls are an example of the unusual greeting cards that have been created by the makers of Hallmark cards. Down through the ages, people have given dolls to children because nothing else brings such delight to the heart of a child. Now, the makers of Hallmark cards have originated a new kind of doll. Greeting cards that are enchanting dolls 8 inches high, with rich colored costumes and feather plumes on their hats. Little Miss Muffet, the Queen of Hearts, Cinderella, Little Bobby Shafto, 16 different Hallmark dolls, each with a wonderful story told inside in rhyme. Children love to collect Hallmark dolls. They read the stories over and over again, act them out with the dolls. And these thrilling playmates from the land of make-believe cost only 25 cents apiece, are as easy to mail as letters. You can send a doll a week or a doll a month to some little friend you want to delight. Or for birthdays or special occasions, you might give a breathtaking collection of Hallmark dolls, 4 or 8 or 16 at once. Someday soon, stop in at the store where you buy Hallmark cards and see the wonderful new dolls the children are collecting. Hallmark dolls, straight from Fairyland.
Thank you, Jay Jackson. And now, once again, here is the star of tonight's show, Robert Young. Bob, that was a terrific performance.
Well, it was a terrific story, Les. And it's nice to know that the man whose part I played tonight was listening to our show. I hope he enjoyed it. Now tell me, what are you planning for next week?
Our star will be an actress who is loved for her comedy, her talent, and her charm. Shirley Booth.
That's good news. Have you another true story?
Yes, it's about an amateur lady detective who finds more than she bargained for.
Well, it sounds exciting. I'll be listening.
And we hope all our friends will be with us again next week when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present, from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, a great story based on actual facts, The Woman Detective and the Stolen Jewels, starring Shirley Booth.
Kansas City, Missouri.